Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's Thursday already. You might be thinking, where did the time go?
Where did my podcast go?
Yeah.
I need more podcasts. Why is there only one Weekly Planet podcast every week?
Yeah.
Because we're old and tired, that's why.
That's right.
But have no fear, there's another podcast
is here
shooting right up your butthole.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's called Just Make the Thing. And you might be thinking, but James, isn't that the podcast that your wife does with her friend Chanel? Yes. So basically, it's the idea is that Chanel or Claire interviews somebody who does a wonderful creative project. It might be a comedian or some person in the arts or somebody who's built a business or a passion of theirs. Mm-hmm. And then other weeks, they also just kind of chat about a particular topic. It might be getting out of a creative rut or how to get something off the ground, how to maneuver the world of business.
How to just get through your working day, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the stuff that makes up life.
I know I would have liked this before I started doing this podcast because when I was a 9-to-5 man and when I was before that I did my business degree, I feel like I needed something like this to kind of push me towards doing something that I didn't hate. And look at me now, Mason, introing a podcast that my wife made. That's the dream.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
So, Jess Perkins, hello.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for coming on Just Make the Thing.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Oh, goodness. Okay, no pressure.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
I never appear on anyone else's podcasts, so no. This is a huge honour for you.
This is amazing. I know. I've been like preparing the house like the queen is coming. We haven't just like thrown her little cushions on the floor for our soundproofing and our dog hasn't attacked you.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's amazing, the service.
Yeah, I know. And if you can hear something in the background, that is the podcast dog trying to get in to bully Jess. But hopefully James will take her soon and it'll all be fine. So I wanted to start. I've been wanting to talk to you for ages actually because you do lots of cool stuff. Lots of creative stuff because this show is all about how to start a thing and keep on making it. So I wanted to ask you first when you realized you were funny.
Oh, wow. I think as a kid I was aware that was something that was in me. And I only realized recently that my parents, particularly my mum, really praised that or put an emphasis on that. I remember in primary school a couple of times when there'd be events on or something and your parents had to write you a letter, or whether it was like we were out on school camp or coming up to milestones in our lives and they'd get our parents to write us letters. And I remember I've got them and a couple of them mum would sort of write that, you know, you've got this sense of humour that's beyond your years and you can light up a room, like all those beautiful mum things.
Yeah.
But it's because they kind of praised that in me that I was like, oh, well, I'm funny. You know, like that was just something I was. Like I was
like part of your personality.
Yeah, which I think is a great thing to instill in a kid.
Oh, I'll be really disappointed. And I'm sorry if my son's listening to this in the future. I'll be so disappointed if it's not funny.
Right?
I will be.
Oh, my God. My boyfriend and I were talking about that recently. We were like, what if we had a kid and they were like a real nerd?
Oh, our kid will be a real nerd.
Yeah.
I reckon, But a funny one.
Funny one. Have a sense of humour.
God, I know. What if they're like a real straight-laced accountant type?
Yeah.
And I know you hate accountants.
I know I do hate accountants. But yeah, that would be the only way my children could disappoint me is to not have a sense of humour.
Doesn't matter what they do in their career.
Yeah, I don't
care. They never have a job. But if they're not funny,
yeah,
get out of the Perkins household.
I can't judge their career choices. Like, look what I've been doing with my degree. Like, nothing. So whatever they want to do is fine. But just have a sense of humour.
Well, you've got a journalism degree.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. What made you choose? Why did you laugh?
Because it's so silly.
Well, you're working on radio now.
I know, it's true.
That's pretty official.
I have always joked that I never did anything with my degree, but I kind of do now. I work for the ABC now.
Yeah, that's a real grown-up job.
Yeah, I had to do some editorial policies training, and I was going through it and I was like, yeah, this is all, I know this, why am I doing this training? And then I was like, oh, you know this because you've done the degree. You're using your degree.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing that you've got a lot of head start for, yeah. Which is like James has a business degree and a teacher degree and uses neither now.
Yep.
When he did business, it was like, make a flyer and hand it around. Very different.
Really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, why journalism? What did you decide that?
Well, when I finished year 12, this is like a big moment in my life. When I did year 12, I did drama and I got a perfect score in my drama solo. It's like top 1% in the state,
so,
kind of thing.
I know, that's why, yeah. I did a big...
Yeah, it was so cool. It was a big deal, and it was something that I wanted and worked so hard on. And so then I got... I promise this is getting to the point. Then I got invited to audition for Top Class, which is the best drama solos in the state. They pick a handful of them. You audition, they pick a handful, and you perform at a showcase. And I got... That's all I wanted. When I was in year 12, all I wanted was to be drama captain, to win the Performing Arts Award, and to get to do Top Class. And so I was drama captain, I'd won the Performing Arts Award, and I was like, I really want Top Class.
Yeah.
And I fucked the audition. I didn't complete, like the performance was fine, but I started too early, I wasn't focused enough, and I didn't do my best. Mm. So I didn't get it, and I also didn't get into the Performing Arts course that I wanted to do because my ATAR, my enter score, wasn't high enough. Because you needed to be like really good at maths and biology to get into performing arts, which made a lot of sense.
Necessary.
Yeah. So that kind of, it was sort of the first time I'd really, really tried at something and failed. And instead of getting back up, I stayed down. My dad always says, like, and it's not something that he's thought of, but he always reminds me, like, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Mm.
And it was, I stayed down. And I still credit that. I'm like, yeah, I just stayed down. I gave up and I didn't try at things again. And so then my backup option was I got into creative arts and culture at ACU, which is just an arts degree, but you had to major in something creative.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I was a drama and literature major. And in my drama classes, we would read plays. We wouldn't perform anything. Mm. There was no performance element. Mm. We would just sit and read plays.
Fun.
Yeah, and I was sort of like, this course is going to get me nowhere. Mm. And I wasn't enjoying it, so I stuck it out for a year, and then I looked at a few different things. I actually looked at doing paramedicine.
Wow.
I wanted to be a paramedic. I looked at a few different things, and then I ended up transferring over to Deakin Uni and doing media and communications. So I did all sorts of things like PR and general media and stuff like that, and then kind of fell into majoring in journalism. And I had a minor in literature and film studies as well. So it was kind of a fairly rounded education. But, yeah, I ended up with a major in journalism and did work experience at, like, Channel 10 and a newspaper and stuff like that.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think I even doing those internships, I was like, nah, this isn't quite for me. Yeah.
Did you love the writing element of it?
Yeah.
Is that why you chose it in the end?
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember feeling like I think I finished uni kind of going, I learnt nothing. But I realized much later that what it actually taught me was, which is funny because you don't see it a lot in journalism, but I can't jump to conclusions. I actually need to have all sides of information and stories to make up my mind.
Wow.
And I only noticed that years later when, like, I told Mum about a story I'd read in the newspaper and she was just like, oh, what a monster, he should be in prison. And I was like, well, hang on. You've only heard one tiny part of it and you've jumped to a conclusion. And that's when I was like, oh, my degree taught me something. So that's kind of nice.
That's a huge thing, especially now in the climate we're living in, to be able to have that.
Yeah.
To know that there's two sides to everything.
There's multiple sides. Yeah. There's at least two.
At least upside and downside as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can look at it from so many different
angles. So many. And intention and context and so many different things. Perception can make it so different from so many different angles. It's really interesting.
Oh, completely. And the way that you were raised shapes your world and your world experience. Yeah, oh, 100% agree with that. So what changed? You did your journalism degree and you were down. You said, you were like, performing arts, meh. What made you go, okay, got to do something?
I think it was, I don't even remember how it came about, but I knew that there was a, or I found out there was a training course at SYN, Student Youth Network Radio, and my friend and I decided to go along to that. It was like one night a week for, you know, a period of time, whatever it was. And we went and did that, and then from there you could sort of have your own show. So we were doing like this late night show, and we were doing the graveyard shifts and just sort of having a go at it. And I realized that I really liked radio, and I did more and more at SYN. And there was one show that was called In Joke, and it was just after a big breakup for me. Like I was 24, and it was like a 6-year relationship ended. And I saw this thing on the SYN Facebook page that was like, we're looking for hosts for In Joke, you know, apply if you want to give it a go. And I sort of went, oh, I'd kind of like to do that. And my usual default would be to go, oh, I kind of want to do that and check with him. Not check with him for permission, but be like, what do you reckon?
Yeah, yeah.
And wait for that validation.
Yeah.
But now I only had myself to back me. So I went, yeah, I'll give it a go. And that turned out, I think I did that for 6 months or close to a year or something. And we would just go see comedy shows and interview comedians. And it got me back into that world of comedy that I had loved as a teenager. Like I introduced my parents to the comedy festival, who've lived in Melbourne.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When they're pretty much their whole lives.
Well, and they just had never
really seen much or done much, but this teenager was like, I've got to go see all these shows and I need a guardian. So that's what they did, which was great. So yeah, it kind of got me back into comedy, and then I just signed up for Raw and I was like, I'm going to give this a go.
That is ballsy.
It's stupid.
It's a big difference though from being like, I'm doing community radio, like where you don't see the audience to going, I'm going to get up in front of hundreds of people and try and make them laugh.
Yeah.
What was that first gig like?
Amazing. It was really good. Yeah. And because I was a drama nerd at school and was always lent more towards the comedy. For sure. Like all my solo and everything was always comedic. So I knew that I loved being on a stage and I knew I could make people laugh. But it was a different type. Like, you know, we'd done sketches and stuff like that at school, characters. Now I was just telling stories as me. But I think Raw's a perfect place for someone to start because you've got a pretty big audience and they're really eager and they're really up for it and they're very supportive. So we went, my parents were there, a few friends were there, and I think that was good too that I told people I was doing it because then it meant I had to.
Yeah.
Because the day before I was like, maybe I just won't do it, maybe I just won't turn up.
Yeah.
I just won't do it.
Yeah.
And I had to because other people were coming. And it was a great gig. I went on like third and did really well and got through to the next round and it just kind of went from there. So the second gig must have been like a preliminary final or something like that, or a next heat, whatever it was. And then after that, I got a message on Facebook from Pete Jones, who's a comedy comedy person. He's a comedian. And he just asked me to come down and do a gig at a room he was running. And that's sort of how I started to meet other comedians. And then it just made it less daunting because the thing that scared me so much about stand-up was I didn't know the logistics. Like, if you're going to go and sign up for a room, where do you sign up? Who do you talk to? Where do you stand? Little things like that.
Yeah.
Stupid little details. But then I started to meet people and that made it a lot less scary.
Wow. And so you sort of felt like you'd found your thing?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like I found my people or a place that I belonged. Because, I mean, I had a pretty good time at high school. I wasn't a
drama captain. Mm. Yeah, everybody loved Jess Perkins.
Oh, yeah, everybody loves the drama captain. Yeah, yeah. No, but I was friends with everyone, I guess. But it felt more like I did feel like I was a bit different. And then meeting comedy people, I was like, oh, okay, these people don't think I'm weird or like a bit out there. They're just my people.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it was a breakup that kind of pushed you into doing something again. Because I often hear that from people that maybe not necessarily breakup, but it often is. It's some kind of cataclysmic life-altering thing that happens to you that pushes you in a new direction. Have you always had, James and I talk about this a little bit, like a creative itch? Like a thing that you have to make stuff, and if you're not making stuff, you're sort of miserable.
Yeah, and I think I didn't realize I had that until I started making stuff, and now I can't really stop. Like I can't. I get overwhelmed if I'm too busy, but if I stop for a little while, I also just get really anxious and kind of bored. I'm like, oh, I got to do something. I'm not doing anything. I'm not being productive.
Yeah.
But I still haven't. I feel like I haven't quite nailed exactly what it is that I'm good at. Like I think there's something more. I think there's, but I don't know what it is. But I'll find it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Though.
Maybe that's actually something that you'll always feel.
Probably.
Because I spoke to Will Anderson and he said that too, that he had like 100 things that he wished he hadn't got to yet. And he was like, I probably won't have time to do.
Yeah.
So maybe when you're a creative person, you always want to have that. Like, what's the next thing?
Yeah, I think
I'll get there. What's the next thing I could do? What's the next thing?
It's almost like it's never enough or you always want something more. I think that's definitely true. Because you'll tick something off a list or you'll achieve something you wanted to, and then it's like, okay, but you can't be happy with that for very long.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's next?
Yeah. How do you feel when you come off the stage immediately after a gig?
Yeah, good. Really good. Well, if your gig's gone well. If it's gone badly, it's like, well, where's the nearest bridge?
How do you go with that? Because I know you said you've had that failure early on and that really put you down.
Mm.
How do you cope with it now when it doesn't go well like that?
I think you learn pretty quickly, especially with something like stand-up, that there are going to be rough gigs and it's not always in your control. Mm. Sometimes you can turn a gig around, sometimes you absolutely can't. But you see really good acts have rough gigs sometimes and you're like, it's just the nature of the beast. Mm. And one bad gig doesn't define you, just like one good gig doesn't define you. Yeah. And I think it also, when it's early, because I had early success, like I was doing really well with raw comedy and stuff like that, that I ended up going to I got through the national final.
Wow.
And the national final was my 7th ever gig.
Oh my God.
Like I was really green. But other people didn't know how new I was. So I always felt like early on, I felt like I had to be really good every gig because they expected more of me. But I think it comes down to like you don't judge a comedian based on one performance you see of theirs. Because I've seen people, like the first time I saw them, they bombed, and then I've had it in my head that that person sucks. Yeah. Then you might see them again later and they're absolutely destroying and you're like, oh, no, I was wrong. I saw them on an off night. And so now I'm a bit more confident in the fact that people in the comedy community know me and know that I'm a capable comedian.
Yeah.
So if I have a bad gig, it was a bad gig. I'm not a bad comedian.
Yeah.
So I think that helps with rough gigs now because you go, I'm not a bad comedian. That was a bad gig. And that's it.
That's like life advice.
Yeah.
In general, hey, like your mistakes don't define who you are.
Yeah.
They're just things that happen.
Things that happen.
You.
And same with good things. They don't necessarily define who you are.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, hopefully they do more so than the bad things. But, like, yeah, you can't do one good deed and be like, well, I'm a good person now. Like it's, yeah. Yeah,
wear a medal around your neck and just be like, oh, I'm excellent, everybody.
Look did the dishes.
Me. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Winning at life.
Yeah.
Winning. Yeah, exactly. I often struggled with that too, I think. And doing this podcast has been really good in that way that you start to learn that there's always another thing and there's always something else to try or something else to experiment with.
Yeah.
And if you just give up at the very first hurdle, you're never going to make anything.
Yeah.
You know.
You're just going to, yeah, you're denying yourself all these amazing opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to really be good at something, you have to keep building on it.
Absolutely.
Like lots of little steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you often don't quite realize that you've become good at something. Like somebody was asking me recently, my friend Naomi, she was going to be doing a demo with a radio station, and she asked for some tips about, you know, radio. And I kind of thought like, fuck if I don't know what I'm doing. But then I gave her all this advice and I was like, oh, maybe I do kind of have an idea of what I'm doing with something I've been doing for about 5 years.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, you probably have some idea. And I'm still learning. There's still heaps that I can learn from it, but like I do know something.
Yeah, after 5 years, you know a lot.
You kind of know what you're doing in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it sneaks up on you and then you're like, oh, shit, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
which is nice.
It's really nice, yeah. And then I think life also can teach you, once you get to that moment, then you realize, actually, no, I don't know that too.
Yeah, I don't know everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a continual learning process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about Dugon. How did that eventuate?
My favorite thing. The boys have told me that they recorded a couple of episodes. I think it was originally Dave's idea is what I heard.
That's what Dave was saying on the show we interviewed him.
Dave's idea, and he did it with Matt because Matt also had sort of a bit of a trivia background. And they just sort of found that it was a bit hard with two voices because you sort of got one person doing the report and one other person going, yeah, it's interesting. It's really hard to riff.
Yeah.
And I remember being at a gig in Footscray and Matt was on and we were just sort of chatting afterwards and he was just very casually leaning against a table and he just said, oh, like Dave and I have been doing this podcast and wondered if you'd wanted to come in and join us for it. And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess. I didn't really know much about podcasts. I just liked both of those guys because I'd met them through the community radio I'd been doing and they both came on my web series. And
which is great, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that was me just wanting to make something. It was just a passion project. I was like, I just want to make something. This is an idea I've had. And one of my friends was just like, then we're doing it. We're making it. And we did. And it was really cool. But it also meant I got to...
Hey, it's the end of this for now, but you can actually check out Just Make the Thing. It's linked below. You can also find it at planetbroadcasting.com, iTunes, Spotify, other places that you love podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's other episodes. There's many.
Episodes.
I was going to say there's none. No, there's many.
There's many quite a few, yeah. Claire talks and Chanel talk to me. Super interesting people.
That's right.
And also you.
Oh, come on, mate.
Oh, I've done it.
Come on, mate. And that's all I have to say. Is that all you have to say?
See you in hell.
Yeah.
All of you.
See you all in hell.
See you all in hell.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.